Lord, we really do want to know what is on your heart concerning your call on our lives, on Kingdom Faith, what it is you want to form in us and the way in which you want to use us in the time ahead. And so we pray for that very particular revelation of your Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts this morning. And we pray that every one of us will hear from you personally and will respond personally. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Now, we've just finished the first week of term. And as most of you will know, during the first week of every term, in the Bible College, we do not have a normal lecture routine, but it is a time of the staff and the students seeking God together, meeting with God. And there's a very particular reason why we do that, and why during the middle of every term we have always had revival conferences and now vision conferences. All this a part of the call of God upon Kingdom Faith. And if we're going to understand what it is God is asking of us as a church, then we need to understand God's specific call upon us here as members of Kingdom Faith Church, what His call is upon each one of us personally, individually, and what His call is upon us as a body. And so I'm going to remind you of that, because everything that God is going to be doing amongst us in these coming months is going to be an outworking of that call. Now, I did this at one of the sessions during the week, and the Spirit of God moved in a very powerful, spontaneous way at the end. This is a different situation, and we'd already been meeting with God. I'm not just looking for a repetition of what God was doing on Thursday evening. But several people have said what a dynamic time it was for them and how important it was that they heard afresh the vision, what it is we're part of. So it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that we should do this morning. Just remind ourselves of the call of God, the specific call of God upon Kingdom Faith. And I'm going to read a passage of Scripture which encapsulates several of the more significant aspects of that call in John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Now, God has had a very specific call, obviously, upon my life, because Kingdom Faith came out of my ministry, but also upon the life of all those who gathered around that ministry and formed what became Kingdom Faith, came out of the community lifestyle that we had for about the first half of our history. And during the years in which Kingdom Faith has existed, getting on for, I don't know what it is now, 27, 28 years or something, during that time, God has actually taken us through a whole series of phases. And in these phases, he has concentrated on some particular aspect of the gospel. Now, there's not time to go through all of these phases, but just to pick out a few of those that I believe we need to hold before us this morning. The reason why we're doing this is God spoke to me a little while ago and said that his purpose for Kingdom Faith now is to bring all these different aspects together at one time. Now, that's going to be very interesting to see how he can do that. Because each one of these things, when God was working them out in our lives, he did that over a period of time, usually over a number of weeks or even months, where he just kept on, if you like, speaking to us and working out amongst us one particular theme or aspect of the gospel. And then he would move us on to another. Then he would move us on to another and another, making us, if you like, more and more complete in the outworking of the gospel. And what he is wanting of Kingdom Faith is not to be like other churches that we see around. He has never called us to be yet another church. He doesn't call us to go and plant churches, but to go and plant Kingdom Faith churches. Because there is to be something very distinctive about Kingdom Faith. Now, I'll explain that a little later on. So you don't belong to just a church, but a church that is called by God to be distinctive and actually prophetic, not in the sense that we have prophecies, but that we are demonstrating something to the rest of the church and even to the nation of what God is going to do. Kingdom Faith has always been in the forefront, on the cutting edge of what God has been doing in this land. And when he has done these various emphases in our lives, when he's worked that in us, what you see is during the 2 years or so following, he begins to do the same thing all over the nation. It's as if we've broken through with something or God has worked something in us, and then it gets spread abroad. And that's happened all the way through the history of Kingdom Faith. And I believe that in bringing these things together now, God is doing exactly that. He's working out that prophetic purpose and is actually making a statement to the church and to the nation that all these things must be seen in the life of his church. So what he works in us is then to be worked out among others. Now, that's just a distinctive call that God has always had upon Kingdom Faith. And the call of God is irrevocable. You can't opt out of the call of God. If he's called us to do something, then that is what we have to do. He's not going to change the nature of that call. Now, what are these main emphases? I've got to be brief because we do have a restriction of time. First of all, this has always been a faith ministry, hence our title, Kingdom Faith Church. Now, there's a sense in which, you see, every born-again believer has faith or he couldn't be born again. But we have been called by God to live by a dynamic of faith. Now, there was a time when this ministry was known probably as the foremost ministry in this country as far as living by a dynamic of faith was concerned. There was an attempt some years ago by pastors from all over the country to come to together to form a federation of faith churches. And all these brethren came to me and they said, we want you to head this up because you have that reputation and exposure in the nation. We believe that you are the person to head up this move of faith, because it was perceived by these pastors that the dynamic of faith needs to be evident in every church. Now, I understood fine what they were saying, and we certainly prayed about it, looked about it. We held a series of meetings around the nation just to test the waters. And many, many hundreds of pastors came to those meetings. There certainly was a sort of a great interest, a hunger, if you like, in becoming faith people. But at the last analysis, I said, if you go ahead with this, I will not head it up. And the reason for that is God's call upon my life is not to head up a series of faith churches. We are revival people, and faith is but one dynamic. And as I sort of mixed with these brothers, lovely brothers though they were, I perceived that their vision was much narrower than our vision. And I wasn't going to get plugged into something that was going to be detrimental to the fulfilling of the whole vision that God had given us. But I mentioned this, you see, because Kingdom Faith had the reputation of being, if you like, leading faith ministry. Now, praise God, since those days, other churches with a real faith dynamic have been raised up. But still, the level of faith needs to increase considerably in most of the churches in this country. And I believe God is challenging us that our level of faith is renewed, is revived, is brought back to life, that we go up to another level of faith with God. Are you there? Then, of course, right from the outset of Kingdom Faith, love has been a keynote, and therefore the text that goes with our logo is faith working through love. And we began, of course, as a community of people that were committed to live together in with one another in love. And again, that was our reputation. Not only as a people of faith, but as a people of love. And I know there is a lot of love in the congregation now, and that the reason why we have covenant groups is to work out a real commitment of love. But in that scripture that we've just seen, the command of Jesus that is part of the new covenant is that we're to love one another. And that is to be an expression of the way that the Lord loves us. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And that's going to involve laying down our lives for our friends. It's a quality of love that is not superficial. It's not just smiling with one another. It's not just having meetings in somebody's home every week. But it's being committed to care for one another, to love one another, to build one another up, to be concerned with one another, to be open-hearted with one another, so that if there are issues in people's lives, we're there for one another. We're to gather around those who are in need at any specific time and to be to them the family of God. And I suppose if one looked at Kingdom Faith now compared to what it has been in the past, I would say that there were times when that love was more obvious among more people than is the case now. It's probably patchy now. I'm not being critical. I'm just being objective, really, because we need to understand what it is that God is wanting to work around among us. And just as we see the need to increase the dynamic of faith, I believe the same is true of the love. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. That yes, we praise God for what love there is, but we need to see much more of that love being evident, so that people that come in are very much drawn into a body of love. Love is attractive. Love draws people. And I believe that when there is that dynamic of love that God wants to see, then we will see many, many more people getting saved. Because Jesus prayed, Father, may there be one, that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. That's what's going to impact the world, that evidence of love. And then the third thing that God has worked amongst us and made a keynote of kingdom faith is holiness. Now, you'll notice, of course, all these are very biblical concepts. And holiness is something that a lot of churches avoid even speaking about. I think holiness is one of those subjects where everybody thinks, oh no, that's way out beyond me. But of course we know it's not. We're sanctified in Christ Jesus. We're made holy, but we're called to be holy. There is to be a holiness and a purity, a righteousness about the way in which we live our lives, because God must have a holy people if we're going to impact an unholy nation. And I don't think anybody here needs to be a prophet to know that we live in an unholy nation, which actually, in the way in which things are being outworked at present, is becoming more and more unholy. That is because the spirit of this age even afflicts governments. Doesn't matter which political party, but they make decisions which are not governed by the Holy Spirit, by the spirit of this age, which is actually a demonic principality that is wanting to oppose the very purposes of God. And that's what we see in our society, in sexual promiscuity, in alcoholism and drug addiction and gambling and all the other things that are becoming such a curse upon our society, that it's the God of this age. And what has happened in so many churches and denominations is that the spirit of this age has been allowed to influence the churches. And so they have made decisions which are not in line with God's word, but which just are in line with what is happening in the world. They, in other words, are under the influence of the spirit of this age. And we must make sure that we do not come under that influence, because the spirit of this age will want to undermine the work of the Holy Spirit in this church as he would in any other church. So we have to be firm, we have to take our stand against that and every other principality and power. Again, this is what Paul says when he's writing to the Ephesians, isn't it? That we are to stand firm against all these things, because our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the principalities and powers that are at work in the world and in heavenly places. So we are not going to allow the spirit of this age to inform us or influence us or kingdom faith in any way. And everybody said, amen. And so this all begins in the mind, you know, so that we in our minds are not worldly in our thinking and our attitudes, and we don't allow worldly desires to grow within us. And therefore, we're not going to watch and listen and speak that which is ungodly and worldly and serves the God of this age rather than serves the Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. So we are to be a holy people, and a holy people are those that are set apart for the purposes of God. So we're not a church where people attend. We don't want any attenders here. We only want people that are part of the body, and therefore they have in their hearts a desire to fulfill the call of God to be a people of faith, to be a people of love, to be a holy people. And then one of the other emphases that God has laid upon us is worship. We've always been amongst the foremost worship ministries and churches in this country. But as you know, about 10 years ago, God started to move in a particular way. And we have had a tremendous anointing on our worship. Praise God, there are other good worship churches that are being raised up now, but there weren't 10 years ago. And even so, there is a distinctiveness about our worship. And I don't think all of us understand how important this is. You know, I just hear sort of criticism about how loud the music is. Listen to me. We are doing everything we can to sort out the sound problem. Since we put the wall in the back, there are all kinds of sound problems in here. And we're consulting all kinds of people because at the same meeting, some people will complain that the sound is too loud, others will complain it's too soft. And it all depends where you are in the building. And I walked around at the start of the service tonight and this morning, and I tested it, and it's absolutely right. The sound in most places is fine. In one or two places, it sounds louder than in other places. So if you ever think it's too loud where you're sitting, go and sit somewhere else and find where it's not so loud. But that's just by the way. I mean, the point is, where are we if what we're focusing on is how loud the music is? I mean, we're here for much more important reasons than that. And God help us if we say, well, I'm going to leave because the sound's too loud. I mean, what kind of commitment is that? So, you know, we are called to be a people of worship. And the reason why the Lord took us into that, not just so that we could have a greater quality of worship, but because in the coming move of the Spirit that is going to move across the nations of Western Europe, worship is going to be in the forefront of what God is doing. It's going to be a key to what God is doing. So now we've got the faith and the love and the holiness and the worship, and we've always been a praying ministry. The spirit of prayer has been upon Kingdom Faith at times far more evidently than is now. I mean, there's a lot of prayer going on now. I know there's a lot of informal prayer meetings. But, you know, there are a lot of people here who, well, perhaps don't appear to be praying people because they don't appear when we pray. you understand what I mean? I'm sure all of us pray. But it's very powerful for us to pray together. And what we need as a body this year is to see the spirit of prayer come upon us beyond anything that we're experiencing at this moment. When a spirit of prayer comes upon you, prayer isn't a duty. You can't stop yourself praying. You don't want to stop yourself praying. You love to pray because your prayer is powerful and effective, and you see results when you pray. Now, that's praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, what have we got so far? Faith. Well, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. We've got love. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. We've got holiness. In Scripture, He is the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of holiness. We are to worship at all times in spirit and truth. So He is the spirit of worship. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit, so He is the Spirit of prayer. And then just one other thing I'm going to mention, and that is power. And obviously to see the evidence of God's power in healing and so on. We've had the reputation in Kingdom Faith of being one of the foremost healing ministries. Now, I don't think we quite have that reputation now as once we had. We praise God that we see all kinds of healings taking place, but we see there's been a real battle with sickness. And we know that we need to see a greater release of power and therefore more of the miraculous, more of the supernatural in our midst. Now, one of the things that God has always impressed upon me is that what He has given, He never takes away. So He has given this anointing for faith by the Spirit. He's given us this anointing for love by the Spirit. He's given us this anointing of holiness by the Spirit. He's given us an anointing for our worship. He's given us an anointing for prayer. He's given us an anointing for power. Because Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, we've seen phases of faith and of love and all the rest. But you see, God says, I want to bring all these things together now. This is His agenda for this year. Now, you see, I haven't talked about the vision yet. I've talked about the call of God. The call of God upon Kingdom Faith is to be a people of faith, a people of love, a holy people, a worshiping community, a people of prayer, and a people of power. Right. That's God's call upon us. And we cannot take any aspect of that call away. We can't say, well, I like the sound of the faith, but not the holiness. Or, yes, I love people, but I'm not very good at praying. God wants to develop all of us in all six of those ways and in other things which go along with those things. Now, what you should realize is that because all these things are aspects of the Holy Spirit, they are all scriptural. What I mean by that is that this is God's call upon His whole church everywhere throughout the world. It's God's call upon Kingdom Faith because it's God's call upon His church. But He doesn't have to. I do not know. I mean, if any of you know of one, come and tell me afterwards because I'd love to know. I do not know of a church anywhere in this nation where all six of those things are being manifested in the way that God intends. But by the end of this year, Kingdom Faith will fulfill that call. Amen. By His grace, working amongst us, we will be the people that He wants us to be. And in that way, we will see God's purposes being outworked in the nation. Now, last year saw a significant change in Kingdom Faith. As you know, I went through quite a valley because I was pretty sick at the beginning of the year. 1 year this weekend was when I was rushed into hospital and it all began. Praise God, all that's behind me. But you see, the big part of what lay behind all the physical issues that were afflicting me was that I have been so passionate about seeing God's purpose for Kingdom Faith fulfilled. That I've literally worked day and night. I was praying for half the night, had trained myself to sleep very little. All that mattered to me is that God's purpose for Kingdom Faith is fulfilled. And I thought, well, I can't die and go to heaven without seeing that purpose fulfilled. And I didn't care what it was going to cost in terms of personal cost to me. All that mattered is the will and the purpose of God for Kingdom Faith, because I see that if we fulfill what He's calling us to do, that's going to bless the nation and it's going to bless the nations. Yes. And you see, I'm just one man. Kingdom Faith now is a worldwide ministry that touches the lives of thousands of people and through radio and television, hundreds of thousands of people. That's a lot of fruit to come out of one man's life. It's not that I'm claiming that all that is the result of me personally. But you see, what had to happen was the seed of my life had to fall into the ground and die. Because Jesus said, if the seed of your life does not fall into the ground and die, then you cannot be fruitful. And so I'd had to face very early on in my ministry that I'd chosen to die to myself in order to live for the kingdom, no matter what the cost of that was going to be. And I would do anything and everything, and Caroline can testify to this, about, you know, how I was out of bed more than I was in bed because I was up praying. And when I got rushed into hospital, and the first thing that I found is I could hardly pray. I was so sick. And God began, as I began to get better, God began to really show me, Colin, you can't do it. Yes, this is my call upon Kingdom Faith, But it doesn't matter how much you push yourself, how much you cry out to me, how much you pray, it will not happen just as the result of your prayer. Because it's not my call upon your life. You have sought to fulfill my call upon your life. It's my call upon kingdom faith. And so I realized that God was saying, pass the leadership of the church over to Clive, which have been doing, and the others that support him in that leadership. And the Lord is saying, now, you apostolically are just to be praying and working and raising people up, and your job is to help enable the whole of Kingdom Faith, not just the congregation here, that's Pastor Clive's responsibility mainly, but to see the whole of Kingdom Faith bringing these qualities together at one time in the way that I have said. And I don't know how I got exposed to all this sickness, because actually there were a few other things wrong that you don't know about, but it doesn't matter, you don't need to, because I'm free from all that now. But it's not going to happen just by somebody trying to kill himself by saying, well, it's my responsibility. My responsibility is to do what God asks of me, but your responsibility is to do what God asks of you. And then if we all fulfill our responsibility, nobody's going to kill himself trying to fulfill the purpose of God. But we will all actually move together into the fulfillment of what he has planned. Now, these things and this whole purpose of God, this calling of God, is only going to happen if we are all united in the vision. So what is the vision of Kingdom Faith? I don't mean just the sort of the phrase that we sometimes put on the bulletin. But what really is the vision? The vision of Kingdom Faith is to fulfill the call. Now you see, that's not an inward-looking thing. What is the call? To be a people of faith, a loving people, holy people, people of worship, of prayer, of power. The vision is to fulfill that. Because if that's the kind of people we become, then God will build the church. Jesus says, I will build the church. And if we're that kind of people, we are going to have such an impact on Horsham, on the 25-mile radius, on the nation, and nations. We've had a tremendous impact in the past by just focusing on one of those things. My books have come out. You see, Anything You Ask came out of the faith, and several of the books out of the movement of love, and Holy Fire, a revival fire, came out of the move of holiness in our life, and so on. And these have had a wide impact. Some of these books have been international bestsellers for many years, been translated into many other languages. But they came out of what God was doing. Right. Not just some theoretical study of Scripture. Every one of those books came out of what God was doing amongst us. We lived it first and then the book. There wasn't a book until we'd lived it. Are you there? Now, we're going to fulfill the vision. One thing is essential, if that's the case. We have got to want what God wants. That means you personally have got to want to be a person of faith. Want to be a person of love. To love and to be loved. Want to be a holy person. Pure, holy, in God's sight. You have the Holy Spirit within you to enable that. It's not beyond you. Want to be a worshiping people. Not people complaining about how loud the music is, but just get on and worship Him. Amen. And you won't even notice how loud the music is. I mean, there was a time in the worship here when the sound was so loud in here that hardly any of us could stand it, and the band wasn't even playing. It was as if all heaven was worshiping with us, and I had to say to the Lord, "Lord, please turn it down. I don't think we can take this in our." And the band wasn't playing at those times. They were under orders. When the Spirit of God begins to move like that and everybody begins to sing like that, stop playing. It's difficult enough to cope just with the sound from the people. Hello? We need to see a greater release, but we've got to want to be the worshiping people, want to be a praying people, want to be the people of power. We've got to want to see the power of God in our lives and want to see that we can see the power of God operating through us. So, this morning I wrote an epistle. That's not quite accurate, really. What I did was I took one of the epistles. I don't want you to turn to it. But I want you just to listen. I took one of the epistles and paraphrased it. Now, everything, I'm going to read it to you now, because all the way through the history of kingdom faith, this particular epistle, God has applied to us again and again. He's applied many other portions of Scripture. But this particular epistle has something to say about our particular call. So I'm going to read it, and all I've done is just changed the names, the personal names and place names and so on, so that they are relevant for us. But the content is Scripture. But I haven't done the whole thing because there isn't time to read the whole thing. I've just taken out bits and pieces here, which is why I don't want you to follow it, because it would be very difficult to do that. So are we ready? So this is God speaking to us. Okay. Colin, Clive, and Jonathan to the Church of Kingdom Faith in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Britain. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Britain. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. You turned from this world to serve the living and true God. With the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel. We speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never use flattery. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us. We worked night and day while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we have sought to be among you who believed. For you knew that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's scriptural church, which is in Christ Jesus. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown for which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about brotherly love, you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Brothers, pray for us. I charge you before the Lord to take heed to this letter. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's the word of the Lord to us here at Kingdom Faith. Of course, it's the first letter to the Thessalonians without all the hard bits. Without all the persecution and everything that they were suffering. So where's your heart? Do you want to see that epistle fulfilled? Yes. Let's stand to our feet then, shall we? It would be so good to have half an hour, just to meet with God now, but we don't have that privilege at this moment. See, the reason why we meet with God first week of term and have revival conferences and so on is so that we as a body may move further ahead in the fulfillment of the vision. You are part of this vision. I'm afraid you can't opt out of it, because it's God's vision for the whole church, not just Kingdom Faith, but His church everywhere. Even if you were to leave Kingdom Faith and go somewhere else, it's still His vision for that church. They may not even preach it, they may not even realize it, but it's still His vision for His church in every nation, of whatever denomination, title, name. You cannot opt out of the call of God, especially now you've heard it. You can't say, well, I didn't know, I didn't understand, I didn't realize what it was, because the Lord on the day of judgment say, yes, you did, Colin Urquhart told you on the 8th of January 2006, and you heard it from my word. So, hallelujah, let's just close our eyes. Now, He's here, see, you're standing right before Him now. I want you to talk to Him. It's very easy to meet with God. It's not difficult, because He's with us always. It's very, very easy. You close your eyes and He's there. All you have to do is talk to Him, and He's not rude. He won't ignore you. He'll speak back. You just need to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be the person of faith You called me to be. I want to be the person of love You want me to be. Loving You by obeying Your commands, and loving my brothers and sisters because Your command is that we love one another. I want to be a holy person, recognizing that my life is set apart for You. And Lord, I want That self-control that is a fruit of the Spirit about which we heard several times in that epistle. Want that word of self-control to be evidenced more in my life this year, so that those things of self, those things of the flesh, are kept in their right place, and your Spirit and your presence within me is given its rightful place in my life. Lord, I want to be a worshiping person, not just here on a Sunday, but I want that flow of praise, of love, of worship to flow from my heart day by day. And Lord, I want your Spirit of prayer to be upon me. So prayer isn't a duty, it's not hard, it's not tough, but it's a joy. That I really can pray continually and rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, I want to see the power of God being released. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. And Lord, because this is your call upon my life, I take this as the vision that you give me, that I shall indeed become a person of faith, of love, of holiness, a worshiping, praying, power-filled person. And Lord, I thank you that you make me part of a body that expresses all those things. And I thank you that as we devote ourselves to becoming such a body during this year, we are going to see growth, we are going to see release, we are going to see addition, and ultimately we're going to see multiplication. And we praise you, we bless you, that as we fulfill what you're asking of us, you will build the church. And you will cause us to be an impact upon the 25-mile radius, upon the nation, and upon the nations of the world. And we give you all the glory. We dare to believe, Lord, that this year we're going to fulfill your word to be a blessing to every nation. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Come on, just lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Come on, just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Kurata parazata bakara sitri satu. Barata parazata bara sitri sarada bakara sitaba. Barata parazata bara sitri sarada bakara sando. Barata parazatu bara sitri saratu bakara sitaba. Barata parazata bara sitri sando. Oh, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just remain standing for a moment. You know, we've got to end in a moment. I appreciate, and all the leadership appreciates, that it's a very privileged position to be able to spend time meeting with God together every morning when we're members of the staff or students. And that not everybody can have that opportunity. But what is going to be important in these coming meetings is that we all use the opportunities that we have to meet with God. Because you see, these things only get imparted to us through meeting with God. He imparts more of his faith, of his love, of his holiness, and so on. And we will find the ways in which the opportunities for you all to do that. One opportunity is at the Victory and Prayer meetings. And perhaps the main focus of those in the coming weeks will be just on meeting with God, getting before Him, meeting with Him, letting Him impact our lives so that we can be an impact on the world around us. Perhaps we'll abandon some Sundays, our normal form of service, and just meet with God. I mean, that's the best kind of service, isn't it? This is a meeting. But instead of just doing things the normal way and just have a preach and so on, meet with Him. We'll see how the Spirit leads us. But He will have His way to enable this to happen amongst all of us. And I just want you to close your eyes before we finish. Because it may be that somebody says, well, I feel outside of all this. I've never really given my life to Jesus, or I've only ever done that very superficially. I've never really seen what His call upon the Christians is. That His call upon every Christian is to be a faithful, loving, holy, power-filled person. And say, well, I need to respond to that call. I need to actually say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I give my life, I surrender my life to You. And if you've never done that before, you've only done it superficially, never really with all your heart, the way that I'm talking this morning, I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward, but I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. If there's anybody that you've never done that, or this is the first time you've done it, seriously, just put your hand up quickly and then I can pray for you. Otherwise, I'll pray for all of you. Because I think we all need the prayer, don't we? Okay, then just keep your eyes closed. Father, I thank You that every one of us is under this word. And every one of us is under Your hand. And I thank You that Your hand is upon us to enable this word to be fulfilled. And I thank You that as the weeks unfold and this becomes unpacked, so we can see how it's going to be outworked amongst us, how we can be more fruitful and effective in impacting the world with the gospel. That it will all be through Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love working through us. So we give You all the glory. Come on, just open your mouth and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, really praise Him. This is such a wonderful privilege. Hallelujah. Come on, let's hear some shouting to the Lord.